Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's program for February 28th. I'm Jessica Dacey in Bern. This week, two extremes in movement, from dance to yoga in a very, very tight spot. The cockpit of a futuristic plane, the Solar Impulse.
Today, Bertrand Piccard and André Boschberg have teamed up to build the first airplane of perpetual endurance, able to fly day and night without fuel, and take it around the world on solar power by 2015. A challenge considered impossible by many specialists.
With scientific exploration, I want to inspire others to also achieve the impossible.
There's been a lot of hype surrounding the Swiss-made plane doing the first around-the-world solar-powered trip. It's costing 150 million francs, and it's expected to take off any day now. In all, it will travel 35,000 kilometers and make 12 stopovers. Two Swiss pilots, Bertrand Piccard and André Boschberg, will take turns flying the plane solo, at times up to 5 days straight. They can't really go to sleep, and they can't really move. Temperatures will go from minus 40 degrees Celsius to 50 plus. So how will their bodies cope? I spoke to Simon Bradley, who reported on the story for SwissInfo. We basically have two men who are aged 56, 62. How are they going to cope being up in the air for 5 to 6 days in a row without sleeping?
Well, they will be sleeping, but they'll be doing these 20-minute power naps throughout the day. And this, if you add all the time up together, this should amount to up to 2 to 6 hours of sleep. And to get into this sleep and to relax properly during these long flights over the ocean, and they'll be using different techniques. André Boschberg is a great fan of yoga. He's been practicing it for over 10 years. And he also uses meditation and special breathing techniques. And he uses these to be able to relax, to get away the stress, and to fall quickly into these 20-minute power naps. Whereas Piccard is a hypnotherapist himself, a psychiatrist, and he has been training for many years in hypnosis techniques.
So we've got polyphasic sleep, yoga, and hypnosis. With the yoga, it's hard to imagine André Boschberg doing this in what was essentially a cramped cockpit. How will that help him?
Well, it is rather strange to imagine doing yoga up there in the air while he's in control of this plane. But Boschberg is a huge fan of yoga. He's been practicing it for years, and he does up to sort of 2 or 3 hour long sessions of yoga. He's highly advanced, and he has brought in somebody called Sanjeev Barnal, who is an Indian yoga guru, to really help him train for this. And the idea is that doing yoga and meditation, it'll help him improve his blood circulation and muscle tone, which is really important when you're sitting for hours on end and not really able to move. And they've actually adapted the cockpit slightly so that he can do these special yoga exercises.
They can do the push-ups if they want. They can do pull-ups if they want. And then they do, when they do shoulder stand, André lies down and he puts his feet on the bar and then he lifts his hip completely up, no problem.
So what are these exercises?
They're actually a classic yoga positions, which many other people do, but he's adapted special programs. He describes it as massaging the internal organs and really creating the blood circulation to keep him going over all these hours. There's also a special pilot seat, which has a special massage mechanism in the back of it, which will help him during the long flights.
And will the yoga help with the extreme temperatures?
Not so much the yoga, but special breathing techniques that Boschberg and Piccard have been practicing. These so-called pranayama breathing techniques, which allow them to cool down and to also warm up during these extreme temperature differences.
So you do movements which gives internal massage to all your vital organs to keep the blood circulation going. Then you do the breathing exercises, which increases the body temperature. When it's minus 40, it's not that easy to maintain the temperature of the body. If you do not really maintain with the pranayama, you consume more oxygen, and they have a very limited oxygen up there.
You also spoke to Eric Bonvin, who did simulations with Piccard, testing out the self-hypnosis he's going to be doing.
Yes, Bonvin is one of several friends and colleagues of Piccard who have been helping him train in self-hypnosis.
What's interesting with self-hypnosis is that it's a natural state. We all do it a few times a day when your attention is focused on something, like when you're walking in the street and you're thinking of something and you notice that you've walked 200 meters without realizing. There is deep sleep, when the body is extended and the brain activity is very relaxed, and there is paradoxal sleep, when there is strong brain activity and dreaming and inhibition of muscles as if paralyzed. It's like a regeneration of the brain.
And how long will Picard be doing this self-hypnosis sessions for?
The idea is, you know, up to 10 times a day, and each time he'll be relaxing in these trance-like states between 15 and 20 minutes, which will build up between 2 and 6 hours rest time for him.
So overall, the only problem is that none of these relaxation and movement techniques have been tested out in a 5-day simulation. So it leaves a lot to go wrong.
This is the big question mark. They've done simulations up to 72 hours, but here we're talking about flights which may go up to 5, even 6 days if there are strong headwinds. And after 3 days, the impact of the lack of sleep, tiredness, the cognitive coordination is supposed to go haywire, you know, after a few days. And, you know, the build-up also of things like nitrogen in the bloodstream and bloatedness. This is really why they've been developing these special techniques, which they hope will help them concentrate. And by the end of the flights, you know, they have to concentrate enough to land the thing as well. So it's a huge human challenge for both of these pilots.
Will Solar Impulse 2 make it across continents and oceans without a single drop of fuel? Or is the challenge too high? Here again, the spirit of exploration has a role to play if we want to change the world.
That was Simon Bradley, and you can read his in-depth article on the Solar Impulse at swissinfo.ch. Now, training to become a ballet dancer requires an equal amount of mind and body control. Switzerland's Prix de Lausanne ballet competition can make careers, but it takes place in a country without a strong dance tradition. Zurich Dance Academy is just one of two Swiss state-funded schools trying to turn that around. Isabel Leibel-Johnson spent a day there.
We are in a large dance studio at the Zurich Dance Academy. It's a few weeks before the Prix de Lausanne, and 17-year-old pupil and pre-candidate Lou Spichtig is practicing her classical variation under the watchful eye of her Russian-born coach. Lou won the 2013 Youth America Grand Prix, and at the Prix de Lausanne 2015 will go on to win both the Best Swiss Candidate and the Audience Favourite Award. Although she doesn't come from a dance family, it seems to have been in her blood.
Actually, my mom realised very early on, as soon as I could start walking, that I always moved, especially when there was music. And after a while, when I started preschool, she wanted me to do something in the afternoon, some kind of sports. She actually didn't really mind that much what it was. So she picked up a phone book and she opened it, and one of the first things was ballet. So she just called, and I just got stuck.
Clad in a pale tutu, Lou looks like she is floating when she dances. But ballet is much more than good technique. It needs hours of practice, a steely determination to succeed, and a deep love of dance. Fellow pre-candidate Laura Fernandez-Gromova is also receiving extra tuition.
Beautiful feet.
It looks like hard work as she repeats the same section until it's right. But she lights up when she talks about dancing.
You actually can show your passion, your expression and your feelings.
Both Laura and Lou are in their final year at the academy. Around 90% of graduates join international dance companies. The success rate is equivalent to that of more established ballet schools, such as the English National Ballet School in London. The Zurich Dance Academy has only existed in its present form for just over 10 years and is run by Oliver Matz and his partner Steffi Scherzer, both former principal ballet soloists at the German State Opera in Berlin. Matz, whose official title is Director of Dance Studies, is taking a class of 15-year-old boys. Nothing escapes his notice as he moves around the class. Feet and posture are corrected. A word of encouragement or admonishment is given.
The school is one of the leading schools in terms of classical ballet, education in classical ballet in Europe. Our education system is divided in two pillars, the foundation study and the advanced study.
This means up to 6 hours of dance training a day, as well as an academic program.
Yes, we have an international focus. We have also international students. And the education is offered bilingual, that means in German and English, which is very attractive for also for the international ballet world.
Around 60% of pupils are Swiss, so there is an interest in dance, Matt says, even if, when it comes to professional dance training, Switzerland is still a bit in its infancy. There is, however, a big consensus that training should be professionalised. It is also important for students to be competent in both contemporary and classical dance, as that is what international dance companies want today, he adds. Lou sees her career in a company.
What I definitely would like is to work in a company. I don't have one particular one where I absolutely want to go, but I want to work somewhere where I can work with many different choreographers, where I can stand on stage often, and where I'm given opportunities that I don't have to stand in the back and wait for 10 years to finally dance.
And Laura?
I really hope that once I can stay on a stage and dance like a solo, not in a group, a solo, because that's actually my dream. If you do a solo, it's another feeling. You're like really, you know, everyone just watches you and you can show yourself and I don't know, it's amazing.
Isabel Leibel-Johnson reporting from the Zurich Dance Academy. And you can read her full report and see videos of the dancers interviewed on our website. SwissInfo will also be following the around-the-world trip by the Solar Impulse, with stories from the stopovers in China, India, and the United States. Look out for our Solar Impulse dossier and interactive map. That's all we have time for. Thanks for listening. And thanks to studio technician Jakob Stoller. Tune in again next week. We'll leave you with some words from Solar Impulse pilot Bertrand Piccard.
There's nothing left to conquer, but there's so much more to explore and to achieve. And in that sense, I believe that we have in the future to take impossible goals, as impossible as going to the moon, and try to achieve them, but for a better quality of life. Fighting poverty, human rights, medicine, energy, sustainability, fair trade, and so on. And probably one of these goals could be summarized as trying to be independent from fossil energy.